out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 209. This is the Total Eclipse edition here at the Caffeination. You'll find out why, and I'm pretty sure you could probably guess, but still. I'd like to say hi out there and welcome everybody. Like I said, this is the Caffeination podcast. We are lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. This being the Total Eclipse Edition, because as we speak right now, there is no light shining on the moon. That is correct. There is actually a total lunar eclipse visible in the entirety of the Americas right now. Forecast for Philly was unbelievably cloudy. It cleared up anyway, which is the first time in, I don't know, a dog's age since I've been able to actually see one of these fun astronomical events. And then, of course, as soon as I got outside, the camera's tripod broke. So we're going to be relying on a fantastic gentleman by the name of Christopher Penn of the Financial Aid Podcast to do the photo documentary of that. So you can head on over to his show at financialaidpodcast.com, or you could just click on the link in the show notes at the Caffeination Podcast over at caffeination.com. We would like to let you know, however, that today's show is going to be, hopefully we're going to be trying to do a little shorter than we have been doing. We're trying to figure out what exactly is the best time signature for you out there. So if you have any comments, feedback, anything like that about the length of the Caffeination, how long do you think's too long? How short do you think? Does it feel like I'm just kind of phoning it in? I just want to make it, fine tune it here. The show originally started at 15 minutes. I know personally there's no way we can get back down to that, but I'm thinking anywhere in between 30 to 35 and 45 on the upper limits. Every once in a while I manage to go over, but that's usually where we live. I just need to find out if that feels good to you, or you think we should do less, more, whatever. Just let me know. On today's show, you're going to hear any and all of the following. You're going to hear a little bit about hot dogs, mugs, caffeine, bikes, shelving, Sudoku, and astronomy. This has been a really cool week so far. I have a massive presentation tomorrow all about podcasting. I'm going to be doing a fun little presentation in work called Finding Podcasts for Educational Content. Basically, it's an introduction to podcasting. On the next show, I'm actually going to put a link to the content so you can see all the different slides and everything like that. I'm still fiddling with them right now, even though I know I shouldn't be. I'm going to have to wrap this show up a little bit early tonight, make sure I get my good night's sleep of 5 hours, and then I'll be right as rain to do this presentation. I've been told I'm a relatively good public speaker, and even though I do the podcast, I never really have problems like that, but I just always get nervous right before this kind of stuff, just because I haven't done one of these presentations in a very long time, so wish me luck. Of course, by the time you listen to this, it's probably going to end up being over, so I'll let you know how everything went down in the next show. Alright, this show is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. You can try it free for 45 days. If you're looking for a better way to present or collaborate during your conference calls, your solution is quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone logs on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen shows up on all of their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a permanent fee like some of the other providers that are out there. You can meet as often as you want for as long as you need, with one flat rate. With GoToMeeting, you can meet with anyone, anywhere, anytime, without ever leaving your office. That is an insane and awesome advantage that you really can't put a price tag on. You'll not only end up saving time, but a serious amount of money as well. See for yourself. Try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. And we'd just like to get right on into the content here. One little bit of notice right up at the top of the hour here, as the case may be. April 15th is Adopt a Noob Day. I actually did my part this time and actually wrote the article about what it's supposed to be. I know it's a little early, but I just wanted to kind of get the word out there. We're going to be talking a little bit more in depth about this as the day gets closer, but there's a link in the show notes. So if you'd like to find out exactly what I feel about the whole Adopt a Noob thing, please head on over there and check that out. Just quick little rundown. I feel that we've learned so much from the different people that we have met throughout our lives, that the different people who've helped you through technology, who've helped you to understand different little things. You've learned so much from so many different people that it's time to pay a little bit of that back. Just find somebody who might be struggling with something. It doesn't have to be on the 15th of April or anything like that. I just picked it as kind of a mnemonic device. Just find somebody and just help them out a little bit. Just make the conscious effort to pay it forward in a certain sense without being a little bit too cliche. But hey, just hopefully the newbies are going to enjoy. You know, just don't force yourself on people. Don't say, oh, no, seriously, let me help you. No, I'm perfectly fine the way I am. Just leave those people be. All right? All right, we have a whole bunch of interesting content lined up for you today. First up, we got the real news bites here. We already covered the whole part about the eclipse and Christopher Penn's photos. Now we're going to go on to something a little bit more serious. Apparently, there was a producer by the first name of Chez, and I unfortunately cannot pronounce the man's last name, Pazienza. If he ever listens to this, please feel free to correct me. I know I'm butchering people's names left and right. But he was a producer for a show called American Morning on CNN. And he had started a personal blog a little bit ago, around 20 months ago, according to him. And the object behind this was he was actually diagnosed with a brain tumor, and the brain tumor he felt was making him lose a little bit of his mental acuity. So as a method of getting past that, as a method of, you know, exercising his creative self, he decided to start this blog, and he updated it fairly frequently. It was an exercise in writing, a panacea for the soul at some point in time, and It was just a way for him to get his thoughts out there. He never mentioned where he worked and anything like that. And throughout the course of his employment through CNN, apparently he had been a model citizen for all, you know, intensive purposes. The problems then came about when apparently an HR rep found out that he had a blog, and apparently there's a little known bylaw in CNN that says, one second, I got to get this correctly. All right, so a line from the CNN handbook, which apparently the gentleman had never received a copy of. He had actually seen a copy on somebody else's desk. Never signed any agreements to this case, in fact. In fact, I'm pretty much hazy on the entire employee handbook thing from time to time, because I remember when I was working with my father, he actually said, you know, there's a fun little line in the back of our employee handbook, and I'm pretty sure it's in the back of most of them. It says they can change it without notice at any point in time. So they're really not, this is his opinion and at the same point mine, really wasn't really worth the paper it was printed on. And that kind of stuck with me always, and you always take it with a grain of salt, and you always have to realize that you do have to abide by it, while at the same point in time you really have to understand that there's certain things that you can't do. You can't put the company in a bad light, you can't complain about people, you know, online, because, you know, that stuff has a tendency to boomerang back to you. This guy did none of that at all. There's the CNN handbook had a line that said any writing done for a non-CNN outlet must be run through the network standard and practices department. It's kind of, his argument is that it's incredibly vague. He had seen it after he had started it, and he was never really given a chance to say, okay, it's either your job or your blog. His blog was called, or still is called, Do X Malcontent. Again, I'm butchering language, but at the same point in time, you kind of get the idea. Basically, he had a slightly liberal bend on his posting. He had a what CNN lovingly referred to as an opinionated post that was floating around with his name attached to it. So they fired him within 24 hours of that conversation, which is insane. It's actually very, very scary to me as a person who blogs and who works at the same point in time. My employer knows about my blog, so, I mean, hey, I'm doing a presentation tomorrow based kind of off the fact that, you know, credentials gained from having the blog/podcast. So it's kind of a strange thing to think of, but at the same point in time, I can understand that CNN is trying to protect themselves, and it's really scary for companies in general to give up that control, you know, to say that, yeah, you know, just because you work for us, you know, means that anything you do can be attributed to us. It's one of those really hard lines to cross, and I would hope that I never have the misfortune of ever having anything like that happen. But, you know, you just got to sit there and look, and it's like, this is ridiculous. The guy had a blog, a personal blog, in which he never mentioned his place of employment. For all anybody knows, yes, he has a very unique name, but it could have been attributed to anybody, really. What's to say somebody didn't pull his name out of a hat? One of the things that they said, HR's response was, as far as we know, you're the only CNN employee who's blogging under his own name. The guy apparently knew at least five other people who weren't even hiding their identities. Apparently they had a problem with the content of his blog, and according to one person from the HR department, it says, "We have people within the company whose job it is specifically to research this kind of thing regarding employees." And that's just frightening, just the entire concept of it. And it's really becoming more the norm. I mean, people, you know, search your Facebook profile, they Google you, they find out exactly who you are. And one of the best things that I've seen recently, I've seen a couple different talks on personal branding and stuff like that. If you're one of the kids who's getting out of college now and you have a whole bunch of buddies who start posting pictures of you drinking on the weekend and stuff like that, you have a small problem, because some employers might see that and say, okay, yeah, this probably isn't the kind of guy we want to check into. So it's a lot harder to get the stuff offline than you might probably be aware of, because as soon as it's released, it is gone. It is out in the ether. You are never getting it back. So the best thing that I've heard recently is to kill it with kindness. So basically, you just start producing content. You just start doing things online that are very visible, very public, and very much in the manner of image that you would like to create for yourself. So while this doesn't speak directly to the blogger, because he didn't think he was doing anything wrong, and for all intents and purposes, I don't think he was doing anything wrong either. So if you'd like to head on over there, you can check that out. That's actually an article he wrote over at the Huffington Post. But it's really kind of, it's disturbing that, you know, people like CNN and NPR and everything else are really trying to break into new media, and they're saying, yo, look, yeah, we're hip, we're new, you can get all the content you want. But if you read the guidelines for using the content, it's like, okay, I can understand that you don't want me putting ads in it and then rebroadcasting it. But it's, I don't know, the level of control that they assert over their content is kind of scary. So, you know, it brings into light the whole kind of licensing issue at the same point in time as personality and privacy issues. So just wanted to kind of open the subject here and get you thinking about exactly, you know, hey, Google your name. Try and find out all the different permutations of your name that you might be able to Google. You know, one of the best things you can do if you do not or if you have a very unique name is actually register the domain name for your name. So, for instance, I just registered the domain name for my full name, not paulmuller.com, because, well, paulmuller.com points to some aviation company in Australia, I believe. It's like Paul Muller Aviation or something like that, which is kind of crazy. Muller.com was actually taken by some software company, and it's not active or anything like that. It, of course, it's just, you know, some software company that was bought up. So PaulRMuller.com points right to me, which is my middle initial and all that. So, you know, the easiest way to actually kind of bury the bad things about you, not that I think there's anything online that, you know, would be even slightly considered untoward, but it's the easiest way to do it is just put stuff up online. You know, basically put your portfolio, if you're a writer, put your writings up online, put other things up online, and plaster your name on them. So that way, when somebody searches for your name, they find 15 hits to all this fantastic content, and the more hits they find to that fantastic content, and the less hits they find to the photos, then the better you are. Like, for instance, in Facebook, I believe you can untag yourself in photos, and at the same point in time, you know, you might want to talk to your friends and say, hey, look, you know, it was an awesome night and everything like that. We had a great time. We had a wonderful time. And yeah, you know, things got crazy at that party. Maybe how about we put that up there as an unlisted album? And then after you're done checking it out and laughing at me, you can take the album down, because I'd be really appreciative of that. And then you also have to kind of trust everybody that your friends trust. So that's another little whole can of worms right there, and kind of bleeds us ever so slightly into the next little topic here. It's information wants to be free. And if you remember the guy by the name of DVD John, he actually has a fun new company that he helped found called Double Twist. Basically, this company is founded on the idea that if you bought the media, you should be able to use it. There's no way that your content should be locked to one kind of player. So the idea between this is that you're going to be able to sync photos, videos, and iTunes playlists with your Nokia, Sony, Ericsson, PSP, and others. So you'll be able to take all the different sections of your life. For instance, if you have an iPod and you'd like to put it on your Nokia, or if you have, I don't know if they can do Zunes yet, which is something that I really want to check out. And you can share media with your friends and family on Facebook and other places. Apparently they're working with the whole open social network from Google, and I think they're working with MySpace at the same point in time, but it's not as open as Facebook's API is. So It's kind of interesting what they're doing here. They're really trying to open up the shared, basically saying, no, we're not trying to steal anything, but we do realize that, you know, things need to change. You know, we shouldn't be locked into, just because I bought a song on iTunes does not mean that I need to play it on an iPod. That's intrinsically flawed in a concept, and if the courts aren't going to back it up, then, you know, it's... You know, the content and the rights are getting pulled out from under the users left and right, and it's just ridiculous. So it's a really a neat little idea. I actually downloaded it. I want to give it a shot. I haven't had a chance yet, so I'm gonna report back to that on you, and then or report back to you on that rather, and hopefully you should be able to check it out yourself. If you go over to doubletwist.com, you can actually give it a shot, and hey, let me know what you think. Blog about it, link back to me, whatever you want to do. So just to get the dialogue going here, try and check this out, see what exactly it's doing, how easy it is. Now we have something that's completely unaffiliated with real news and everything like that. This is the easiest place I can find to put it. One of the other bloggers from Philadelphia, a guy by the name of Mark, has an awesome place or awesome blog called The Poverty Jet Set, and he puts crazy stuff up there all the time. And I've had this in my holster for a while. This is probably one of the scariest bike messenger videos you will ever see. Literally, it's like there's a camera on the guy's head, and they are going through the streets of New York at top speeds, and their heads on a swivel, they're going through intersections, they're dodging cars, they're going in between box trucks on crowded roads, and it is the most insane, craziest bike video that I have ever seen. And I wanted to kind of pass that along to you and make sure that you head on over there and check out some of the other cool stuff that there is brewing at the Poverty Jet Set. Mark's a great guy, and this video has been sticking with me whenever I wanted to impress some of the people that I work with. It's like, hey, no, you got to check this out. We had one guy who, one of the students who was very... very into like extreme sports and stuff like that. Is it extreme sports? How about an extreme job? So I threw this video up there, and he went, "Oh my lord, that is insane!" So it doesn't really do it any justice talking about it. Just wanted to kind of throw it out there, see if it sticks. Hopefully, you'll enjoy it as much as I did, or even a small amount as much as I did. All right, moving right along to the TechCruft section. We're kind of trying to keep things moving around. Innovation is really hard to grasp. It's really hard to find a really and truly new idea out there on the internet. Everything's a derivation of one thing or another. Well, how would you like a derivation of a shelving system? I mean, there's plenty of different shelving systems out there, but let me frame the idea for you here. You take these two giant metal studs, and you put them in the wall. Now, these are going to have to be in a very secure part of your wall, so I'm assuming that the studs get screwed into the studs in your wall. So these things go in, and then an incredibly high-tension elastic band goes in between the two of them. So you actually have, you know, a part on the top and a part on the bottom. So what you do here is, this is your shelf. That's right. The elastic band, you can open and close it. You can place things like blocks in there and put books in there. You can place partitions. It's a completely and utterly modular system here. And this is from ogizmo.com, so you really need to head on over there and check that out. I like the idea of this. This is really nice. It's really kind of neat and interesting. It works. I'm assuming it would probably work a little bit better if you have constantly changing content. Like for me, I actually have a bookcase in my basement that has like three shelves, double layers. I mean, so you have the one books in the back and then the one books in the front. The shelves are deep enough so that you can see that. The thing probably weighs over 250 pounds. Last time I moved it, I damn near threw my back out trying to get it out of here. Of course, I didn't take the books out. That would be intelligent. But so I'm pretty sure my collections, and by the way, this is only like a half of the books that we actually have in the house. All of them are mine, except maybe one half shelf of my wife's. Not because she you know, she's just not really a reader. I have kept every book that I ever had in college. I have a research library of anthropology and archaeology and folklore stuff here. So it's kind of crazy and cool to be able to look up all kinds of different things in a very terrestrial and very tactile manner. But at the same point in time, it takes up a lot of space. So I was looking at this and saying, you know what? My bookshelf would make this thing hit the floor if I was to put even like one row of it in there. So they show it very, very lightly used. So it's much more of a design piece than a function piece. At least that's what I can think of. The fun little comment that they had over at Ogizmo is actually, I wouldn't have to worry about putting an eye out if if this thing ever snaps. It would probably just take your head clean off. And that's probably right, because the amount of tension that has to be on this sucker, that has to be like... I mean, we're talking orders of magnitude over getting snapped with a rubber band here. I mean, this is a real thick elastic band. This is like 3-4. Well, I don't know. It looks like the books are actually laying down on there pretty good. So I'd say this is probably like a 6-inch thick elastic band. And yeah, this sucker ever goes, it's taking a floor out with it. So, all right. Now the next little thing we have up here is I want to be 10 again. That's correct. There was this awesome line of toys that was coming out when I was younger, and I only ever got like one or two pieces, but they always came with the catalog of them. It was called Spy Tech. So they I had the binoculars that had the compass and had the whole like 16 different things that they could be, and they were really cool. I also had the periscope that bent around corners and stuff like that, and that was awesome as well. But I wanted things like the proximity detector and all the really spy tech kind of cool stuff, and I never really got around to getting it. The stuff wasn't very well made. It would kind of break very easily. But you know, they gave you the idea of being able to, you know, really, really do some crazy cool stuff. I think in the back of my mind I'm remembering they had some kind of night vision, which basically was just like a flashlight on top of your head. Take that one step further. Yep, that's correct. There's now something coming out called the Eyeclops. It is true night vision. This is like crazy. This uses an infrared imager and has an LCD eye patch, basically, that goes over your eye that allows you to navigate in even the darkest of environments, according to Ogizmo. So even if you wanted to take pictures and stuff like that, there's a Bionicam. So it's a digital camera instead of a headset. So it will... Each thing will apparently retail around $80, so I'm not sure if that's like $80 for the camera or $80 for the headset. So either way, insane and awesome, and I really want to be young again because they have all these awesome toys coming out right now. You're looking at this and going, man, if we had that when I was a kid, I would have gotten into so much trouble. Sneaking out would have been so much easier. Nah, just kidding. But all right. Let's see what else we got here. All right, another little bit of innovation. This one's recently an award winner. Has the award second prize at the Greener Gadgets Conference in New York City. Now, this is only a prototype, basically. It allows a light to run for 4 hours, roughly at a 600 to 800 lumens, which is around a 40-watt incandescent light bulb. And the way that it does it is this is a giant... pendulum kind of clock in a way. Basically, you take a 50-pound weight that's at the bottom of this clock, you pull it all the way up to the top, and by the motion of the by gravity's power of pulling the weight down the center core of this lamp, it actually creates electricity somehow and turns the lamp on. And it apparently is incredibly long-lasting. It's powered with LEDs, so that basically these things are going to last for over 200 years if they're using correctly. I mean, if the gadget, like if the inner workings of it are to a significantly high quality, the artist involved actually said that this thing, if used 8 hours a day for 365 days a year, probably 366 on leap years as well, it would last more than 200 years. That's crazy. So the article contains links to patents, and the guy Clay Moulton has actually, you know, tried to patent this and all that other kinds of cool stuff. I think it'd be interesting to see the idea behind it, and maybe even like a giant hourglass version of it, to where instead of pulling the weight up, you just flipped it upside down and had like a light on one end or a light on the other. I think that would be really cool. No word yet on exactly how much this kind of thing would cost, but he does have fairly detailed drawings, and they're really, really spiffy. So, I mean, spiffy is a technical term here, so I really want you to head on over there and check it out. The article at Slashdot has all the information you really need. All right, now the next little thing up here we have is actually a very fun little section coming out of the Xbox keynote speech earlier today at the Game Developers Conference. Apparently, community games are going to be available on Xbox 360 as of right now. So there's a little bit of a convoluted way that you're supposed to be able to get to them, but they're only out in beta right now. They're trying to test the process. So apparently there's supposed to be a dashboard update that's going to fix all this. I'm not going to spend too much time talking on it because I know there's people out there that aren't really gadget people. There aren't really game people. There aren't really Microsoft people in the least. But this was really exciting to me. For basically, this means that people are going to be able to write their own games if they have the XNA, so that, you know, the home studio from Microsoft, which I think like a yearly subscription of $99. So I mean, imagine if they start letting people charge for these, because I think they're all free right now. I'm going to get back to you on this after the show and everything, but I think they're all free, and the idea behind this is that people can create content and then push it out to Xbox Live and, you know, be able to get feedback, be able to have other people playing your games. This takes the PC and makes, you know, kind of PC-izes the console. It basically takes the level of things that are happening on the PC, the available different things that one can do, and kind of flips it on its end and say, you know what, consoles are no longer closed systems. I mean, yeah, they still are for the large part, but within certain parameters, Microsoft's allowing you to develop games, and I think that's awesome. So right now there's 8 games, I believe. 8 or 9. I keep getting different counts based on whatever article I was looking at. But it's really cool. There's been a couple little glitches, so hopefully you're going to end up seeing that all work out. And then there was another new game announced today. It was not not exactly a surprise, but the way I've chosen to portray it is not an article per se. It's actually a link directly over to Major Nelson's photo stream at Flickr. He's holding a Lancer. Basically, if you're unaware, there's a game called Gears of War. Insane, awesome, beautiful game, and it had a very, very interesting promo attached to it, where they played Gary Jules' Mad World to the tune of some rather violent footage. And the chief gun in the game is a machine gun. Instead of a bayonet, there's a chainsaw. So the chainsaw acts as a chainsaw would and cuts people in half, and actually ends to a very, very gritty feel to the entire game. You're much closer to the enemy when you got to do that. So it's a great game. I love the game. And there's a picture of him holding a real mock-up of a Lancer. Not one that fires, from what I can tell. And then there's another picture of one of the guys from the studio actually chainsawing Larry or Major Nelson himself. So this is Cliffy B. It just really kind of funny. So I just decided to put it up there. Basically, they're saying November 2nd, 2008, Gears of War 2 is going to be coming out. I can't wait to see the kind of videos they put out for this one, because there was so much hype surrounding the last one, and it was kind of unintentional at first. So we'll see exactly where this takes it. All right. Let's see what else we got here for you in the TechCruft section. Last but most certainly not least, I like to kill your free time. That's right. I every once in a while, I find something that is so insane and so off the wall that I just know I'm going to take your free time out back and I'm going to chainsaw it. So my wife is addicted to Sudoku in a bad way. So she will sit upstairs in our room. She will do these puzzles. She will, you know, completely zone out. I can have a conversation with her. I could probably get her to agree to letting me buy almost anything. Well, all right, never mind. She pretty much snaps too when I start talking about pulling out credit cards. But she's very much into this. She loves playing it. I bought her a couple books from time to time. She finishes one, and then we get her another couple. But this takes Sudoku to a whole new level. This is image Sudoku. So now Sudoku, as you may or may not be aware, is the numbers 1 through 9, and there are 9 blocks of 9 blocks, so 9 by 9. So there's 81 blocks on this little grid system, and each block or each section of 3 is divided by a 3 by 3 little grid. I'm probably explaining this very badly. The idea is that you need to get the numbers 1 through 9, both in each individual little grid, the 9 by 9 or the 3 by 3, and then you need to get the numbers 1 through 9 vertically and the numbers 1 through 9 horizontally without repeating the numbers. So you can't have like 9-9 or anything like that. So the idea behind image Sudoku is that instead of the numbers 1 through 9, you need to pick out the 9 different images and fit them in the same pattern. So everything else is the same. It's just they replace numbers with images. So there's pictures of kitty cats, there's pictures of candy, there's pictures of muffins. Apparently there's Christmas themes, birthday themes, Valentine's Day. There's even a quote-unquote monogram set that allows you to use 9 different fonts for your initial. It's great. I don't know what to say other than, like, this is probably one of the sickest and most evil versions of the game that I can ever imagine. So basically there's $300 for wow, that would be incredibly bad. These are $3 for each individual sleeve of singles, $16.50 for packs of 6. So pretty cool. I'm not sure exactly how you play with, because they look like they're already put in together. Like, they look like they're put together, but I'd like to see if there's a way you can get them blank and then place the little tiles on there. Like, this would be an awesome version for online. But, you know, just if you have anybody out there who happens to be in your life and you think they might enjoy a little Sudoku with images, then please pass this along to them. All right, now next up, we have the caffeine and food section. I have a little bit of an announcement here. Like we've been talking about in the last shows, this is going to be the last show you actually hear me say it. We're still doing the Show Me Your Mug contest. Basically, we're looking for people to send in pictures of their coffee mugs. And a little blurb about what your coffee mug makes you feel. For instance, with me, I have a stoneware mug that kind of looks like a castle, and it really makes me. It reminds me of all the good times I've had at the Pennsylvania Renaissance Fair. It reminds me of some of the fun that, you know, I've had. You know, we had camping trips surrounding going there, where my wife and a whole bunch of our friends, we all went out there, and there's just a whole lot of memories trapped up in this coffee mug. That, and it's massive. I can fit 2 full 8-ounce cups of coffee in this thing. So, you know, part of me really likes the sturdy nature of it, because you really can't knock it over. In fact, my cats have a tendency to drink out of any glass that's left, no matter what is in the glass. So the cat Beans, coffee Beans, of course, actually has a tendency to knock over my coffee cups, even the mugs, like even the regular mugs. She has knocked them off tables. She has moved them around the table. It's incredibly annoying. She can't move this one, and she can't knock it over. So it frustrates the heck out of her, and she ends up drinking the coffee. I'm all right sharing the coffee with her, but at some point, she's probably going to end up having her heart burst over the caffeine. But she doesn't drink a whole lot. Every once in a while, she'll sip it. And then look at me and go, why can't you just switch to water? But that's my little story. That's part of my little story here. What we're looking for people to do is just send in we're actually working with a website called I Need Coffee, and the fantastic person who runs that, Michael Allen Smith. We're working to do like a kind of a dual article here. Basically, it was an idea that I originally postulated on an earlier show, and it was out of the caffeine diaries that all the bunch of different coffee geeks from around his stable had put together. Basically, how much coffee you drank, when you drank it, how you took it. And it was kind of an interesting little look into people's lives. Well, I said, you know, we should do a Show Me Your Mug contest and just have everybody take pictures of their coffee mugs. And it's gotten some interesting feedback. So we've already received a couple. We're just looking for a couple more, and then we'll have a full enough article to actually put up there and make sure it's nice and pretty. So just send me a picture of your coffee mug. Any size will do. When, you know, I'll resize it before I pass it along. And just a little blurb about what your coffee mug makes you feel. A link if you'd like to have a website linked or something like that. And your hometown, so that we can make sure that goes up there as well. And you can send all that info to caffeination@gmail.com. Michael and I would be incredibly appreciative if you could do that. We're trying to wrap this up. Or I set like an artificial deadline, at least, of by Friday. I'm going to say by the time I record the next show, at the very latest, I'd like to have all the submissions in and get them off to Michael. I'll talk to him at that point whether or not we want to extend it and try and throw it out to the masses in general. Alright, that's about enough on that. Now, I saw another article over at EnergyFiend.com, and EnergyFiend's been putting out some really cool stuff. For instance, there was an entire diatribe on Starbucks that was put up over there, and I really wanted to link to that, but I said, you know what, we'll spread it out. We'll kind of check it out. You can always head on over to EnergyFiend.com and check it out yourself. But there's a fun little article over there it's a little old, but I hadn't linked to it yet. It's a rose by any other name, at least this is how I'm saying it. A rose by any other name, would it still smell as sweet? Well, caffeine by any other name, would it still give you the same kind of kick. And it got me to thinking, on most of the packaging, it says caffeine if there is caffeine on it. But is there a way to hide caffeine so that you don't really know what you're drinking? Well, apparently there is. All you have to do is name it something different. There's all kinds of different synonyms for caffeine and different things that have caffeine in it naturally. So, for instance, for coffee beans, you might also see Caffea SP. For cocoa beans or cocoa, you might see cacao or Theobroma cacao. Wow, that's pretty cool. For cola nut, or cola nut, I think, you might see cola natilda, cola seeds. For yerba mate, you might just see mate or Ilex. Wow, that's a long one. There's guarana, there's also black tea and green tea, and both of them can be referred to by Camilla sinensis, Thea sinensis, and just Similia, I believe. I'm Camellia. I'm completely butchering these names. I know it. You need to head on over there just to kind of educate yourself, basically, to realize what exactly is going into the different things you drink. So if you're starting to feel a little bit of a buzz after you had something, you're pretty sure there's no coffee in it, you might want to give this little list a check just to see exactly if there's anything in there. Also, if you are caffeine sensitive, now I don't know why you'd be listening to this show if you're incredibly sensitive to caffeine, but hey, we will take any and all comers here. So if you are a caffeine-sensitive individual, then you might want to really take a look at this and just print it out and put it in your wallet, because if there's something in the ingredients of something and you pick it up, you could have some serious side effects. We just want to kind of make sure everybody's all up and aware of what exactly they're being fed. Now, in the realm of being up and aware of it, what you're exactly being fed, how would you like to do a 4-in-1 hot dog maker? Yep, that's correct. There's apparently a fun little invention come out. This thing is only $30, so I mean, you really can't go wrong with this. So this thing can apparently make popcorn, hard-boiled eggs, has some kind of bun warmer, or steam hot dogs, boil eggs, make popcorn, all in the same device. And I don't know what it's doing to the buns on the outside, but it's incredibly crazy. So now for $30, and if it makes popcorn and does the eggs, I could see how this would be kind of cool. The only thing is, I'm not really big into hot dogs. I wonder how it would do with some kielbasa or something like that, a little sausage. You know, maybe we'll see how that works. I wanted to kind of pass it along to you, because I've seen some crazy kitchen gadgets in my life. I've seen some things that you're like, nobody would ever buy this, but this, you know, it's a 4-in-1. I mean, come on, it slices, it dices, it makes julienne fries in under 5 minutes. So I just wanted to kind of pass it along to you, and hopefully you'll find it at least a little bit entertaining, because it's really strange looking. Now, the next to last thing we have here is actually something I've dubbed the Robo Toaster. Basically, this thing does it all. It is an auto-loading toaster with a motorized slot cover, so basically this thing does absolutely everything that you can imagine for $60. It actually, you know, it pulls the bread in, it covers the slots, it toasts the bread, it pops them out, and it does everything without, you know, burning the bread. So I just thought it was kind of cool. I have a thing for toasters, I don't know why, so I just thought I'd pass it along to you. Hopefully you found it interesting. Come on, this is the caffeine and food section. Everything has a little bit of a tint to it, so hopefully you found this little thing interesting. I realized for some reason the music stopped halfway through the show. All right, not going to go back and add it or anything, but all right, that about wraps up the Caffeination Podcast for today. Hopefully you enjoyed everything we were throwing down here. Hopefully you got to see all the different fun little stuff we were trying to do. The Caffeination Podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find all the other member shows over at the website, techpodcasts.com, where they have all agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content to enjoy. So head on over there. Love to have you check out some of the other podcasts. Caffeination Podcast is also a member of the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's Blubrry. And it's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. So basically, you head on over there, you can friend different shows, you can build your list, you can do all kinds of crazy cool things, and you can see who all what all podcasts the other podcasters listen to. It's pretty good to check that out, because I mean, hey, if there's a podcast rather that other podcasts enjoy, you might want to, you might find that, you might say, hey, you know what, this is pretty cool, and head on over there and check that out. We're all for sharing the wealth here with the listeners. All right, and then last but most certainly not least, The Caffeination is a Puzzle Piece production. To find out more about what that means, please head on over to puzzlepiecepro.com and find out. All right, we'd like to thank everybody for listening. This has been the Caffeination 209, the Total Eclipse Edition. This has been done without the benefit of the sun's guiding lights, so I'm pretty sure at this point the sun is starting to inch its way back across the moon here, so I'm going to check it out as after I head this out. So thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.